This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight. Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. Those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast. We want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 437 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed. And for this week's show, well, you know what? We had so much information from that big media meetup for the Guardians of the Galaxy's new attraction opening and for the second half of the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World announcements that we've got some more recordings for you this week. So Sam from Sam's Disney Diary came back as our second Disney Nerds reporter with a bunch of other interviews that I wanted you to listen to. They have some really cool things to say, and there is some importance to them, so I thought it was worthwhile to come back with a second show and to bring these clips to you. The first two we're going to do are about the Connections Restaurant and Cafe that's in Epcot, basically the replacement for the Electric Umbrella. These are two cool interviews because the first one is going to be with the Imagineer that came up with the idea and worked on the team that basically is presenting it and what they're trying to represent in that area. And the second half, or the second interview, will be with a chef and a pastry chef from the restaurant also to hear about some of the offerings and what they do. So Sam, without further ado, take it away.
Hey guys, welcome back to Sam's Disney Diary here at the opening of the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind Coaster with some other openings happening right next door in the Creations Cafe. I am with Brianna. Brianna is part of the Imagineering team that has been imagining and storytelling here in this location.
This is true.
So tell me, what goes, number one, the location is beautiful.
Thank you.
Vast scenes all the way around, a huge mural behind us. Yep. There's a lot of thought that went into this. So where did you start with, we need a counter service food location in Epcot, we have this. How'd this all tie into the larger Epcot transformation?
So Epcot Transformation is all about bringing Epcot into the future. You know, we're about to be celebrating our 40th anniversary here, which is fantastic.
Sooner than we know, right?
I know. Yeah. So we're excited for that. And I think it's all about taking the park into the new chapter, the next
sure.
new chapter. And a lot of that has to do with breaking down some old barriers and creating this idea of transparency and openness and just sort of a bold, fresh start. And I think that's what we've done here at Connections Eatery. We're in the new quick service location, which wonderfully serves our guests. It's huge. All of the seats are
big.
Inside and air-conditioned, guys.
I
How
say that again?
All the seats are inside and air-conditioned.
That is very good.
Isn't
and there's
wonderful?
A lot of space
there's
here,
quite
I'm
a
noticing.
Lot of seats, yes.
So that from a food perspective, I know this is also, in addition, it's the new Starbucks location.
Yeah, we have Starbucks in the
But that's one of many. So what else is here in the cafe?
Well, we love, this is Connections Eatery, which is the quick service side, and then Starbucks is in the Connections Cafe. So
got it.
You
that's
notice
the difference.
Our different signs over
I get
the doors.
It.
That's the difference.
So I get it.
It's all here, and we're excited for it. You know, it's really fun going to a Disney park, and
sure
it's
is.
Also really good to sit and have a decompression moment. And one of the things we want to do is make sure that when families come and they're here, they're connecting with each other, they're making memories, they have a place to come, get a bite, maybe enjoy food they've never heard of before, or food that they've always enjoyed.
And there is some of that happening here.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to talk to the food and beverage folks in just a minute. But I want to talk more about the storytelling, because I know there's a lot of architectural elements
yes.
that have been carried over from the store, which is next door, and Club Cool, right across
yeah.
the street,
yeah.
into here, including this beautiful mural behind us. So how's all this connect?
Well, Epcot, as you know, the quote says, is always in a state of becoming, and it is meant to be a living blueprint for the future. So we're in World Celebration. This is one of our new yes. neighborhoods, the counterpoint to World Showcase,
sure.
where we're getting to talk about all the things we share and have in common here at World Celebration. So what's more, what do we have more in common than we all like to enjoy some food together?
Food.
So with that, the whole idea of bringing together the global community and what do we all share in common? And we have, like you've mentioned, this beautiful mural called
yes.
Global Gathering.
Global Gathering. Okay. And is that just what's behind us or does it go all the way around?
It literally stretches from one entrance on the east side all the way to the west side. So you can go from the monorail to Spaceship Earth, and that whole, it stretches over 160 feet.
Wow. It's that amazing. Is a heck of
it
a mural.
It is hand-painted, and it was done by a group of global designers, illustrators. The team who worked on it worked, you know, at one point it was a huge global effort, and then as it came to site, we installed it, and now everyone gets to share it.
Everyone gets to share it, and I love it. And is there a connection between the food elements and the mural? Is there a connection?
I think both inspired the other.
Okay.
It's what we really wanted to emphasize were global food staples. So we all cook with rice or with potatoes, or you know, we all enjoy a coffee or a tea, and those are things that the global food staples in the mural are celebrating the regions that those are important to.
Right.
And then I know that there's food that has those in them.
That's amazing. So, anyway, what's your favorite part of the mural as I look at it back
Honestly,
here?
Honestly, it's the color because it's so dynamic, it's so vibrant. When you get to see this area here with the mountains and it's the Sacred Valley, it's so beautiful in the Andes Mountains of Peru, and then you see the family sitting here and they're enjoying time together, which is what the families here will be doing together.
That, around the fire in that particular case.
Yeah, it's just fantastic, and I love the little up happening.
Yeah, I see that, yes.
Yeah. So there's just something to see everywhere. One of my favorite tidbits about the mural, actually, is in the scene on the far end where she's pouring coffee in Ethiopia, the vessel that she's using is actually also in our little display case of brewing vessels from around the world.
Okay.
So you can see those two together and the cups are there, and it's just all of these different cultural elements that are all about what we all share in common, which is, you know, we all like a good caffeine hit.
Oh, we do like a good caffeine. If it's a coffee and food and rice and potatoes, you put it right in there, they're all staples.
Wonderful.
I love all of this. It does. So we're getting closer to this part of the park being finished, especially with Guardians opening.
Yeah.
It feels like there's been a lot of construction here. It continues to happen.
Exciting progress.
Exciting progress, and I love the fact that things are opening as we move forward. It feels like we're now in the phase of we're getting all the new stuff. I still see some construction walls, but look, the left-hand side of World Celebration, can I call it that? We're not quite.
Yeah, World Celebration. Yeah.
World Celebration.
It's World Celebration.
But, is Guardians is in
east
World
side.
Discovery.
The yeah, east Guardians side. Is in. Yep. And what's so cool about, you know, you're mentioning the architecture, and what we've announced today is the continuation of Epcot Transformation.
Yes.
All those beautiful gardens.
In
and
the center, yes.
Seeing. And so when what you're seeing now is we have the beautiful glazing system, floor to ceiling, transparency, and in our future state, you will be able to sit inside looking feeling like you're outside in these gardens and vice versa, and I'm really excited for that because again another decompression zone, this place to sit together.
I love that because today a little earlier I'm sitting over on the side that's facing Xandar, the first Owl of This World pavilion, right? And you can see the monorail go by and
Isn't
you see the
great?
Shift in the future. It's beautiful.
Beautiful,
and I can only imagine that on the other side looking into the gardens and more importantly Dreamer's Point. That's
Dreamer's
what I'm looking
Point.
For.
I cannot wait for that. It's the pure emphasis of what we're saying about Epcot always being in a state of becoming, the living blueprint for the future, this idea of inspiring each other, dreaming together. It's all coming together, and I personally can't wait for those gardens.
It's beautiful, and neither can I. And I hope to be back talking to you when we're in those gardens.
I'm
so
sure.
Thank you for your time. Thank you guys for joining. We are at the Connections Cafe, and what was the other door?
Connections Eatery and Connections Cafe.
Connections Eatery and Connections Cafe. Now we got the difference. Yeah. I love it.
So we heard the behind-the-scenes concept of the Connections restaurant and eatery from Brianna, which was very, very cool. So now's the interview that's going to make you hungry. Here we go.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to Sam's Disney Diary. I am in the Connections Cafe at Epcot, the brand new Connections Cafe, and I'm with Scott, who's part of the culinary team.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Good,
and
how are you?
Crystal.
Crystal, you're a pastry chef.
I am.
All right, your desserts. We're going to get to you in just a second. But I'm going to start with Scott over here. So we are in the Ketchins Cafe, where the food items are all designed to sort of connect us. Is
correct.
That right?
So the idea behind Connections Cafe and Eatery is that we are connecting our guests around food and beverage. So behind us here, there's a 160-foot-long mural that shows different folks from all around the globe either cultivating, enjoying, harvesting food from all different places. There's corn from Mexico, there's rice from China, there's apples from Turkey. There's all different kinds of places around the world, and the mural really highlights that. And then what we've done is we've then taken those ideas and incorporated it into the menu here at the cafe and the eatery. On our side over here, we have many different types of burgers. We have a French bistro burger, we have a banh mi burger, we have a Mediterranean burger, we have a Southwest burger. So all those different burgers come with different components, and they kind of focus on a little different places all around the world. Our French bistro burger, for example, one of our most popular so far since we've opened, comes with a 7-ounce patty. We have melted brie cheese, some Dijon mayonnaise, caramelized onions, sauteed mushrooms, and some applewood smoked bacon on there. Comes on a brioche bun. It's a fantastic option for our guests.
You're making me hungry, Scott, just so you know.
Yep, that's the whole idea of having you come visit us here. Another item we have is our chicken sandwich. It is brined in buttermilk and pickle brine overnight. We bread it fresh each morning, then it's fried in our pressure fryer, so it's nice and crispy and crunchy on the outside, and then nice and juicy on the inside. That comes with our chicken sauce, which has a couple types of mustard, some honey, some barbecue sauce, and then some spices that we put in there. It's a fantastic sauce that goes great with the sandwich.
That's awesome.
Yep. Another option we have is our pizza. So here in the restaurant, it's a little different than most pizza here at Disney. We our pastry team makes the pizza dough right here in the restaurant every morning. They use 00 flour imported from Italy to make our fresh pizza dough. So they make it, it rests for a little bit, and then we press it on a pizza press. So it's ready to go in our pizza pan. We then top that with our San Marzano tomatoes, some of the best tomatoes you can get anywhere in the world. And then we top that with a 5-cheese blend. And we have a cheese pizza, a pepperoni pizza, a meatball pizza, and then we have a plant-based option, which is a curry-spiced pizza, has a little bit of tikka marsala sauce, some roasted vegetables, some plant-based cheese, and then a lime-based crema on top of that.
That all sounds incredible,
and
that's
then,
for sure.
And then one of our other most popular items is right behind us here is our Lee's Waffle, and I'll let Crystal tell you a little bit about that.
I was going to ask about the show kitchen because I see some things being cooked behind us right now, and I think this leans right back to pastry chefs there,
the
Crystal.
The most important
person. What are we cooking back there?
So today we're making some Lee's Waffles. They originated in Liege, Belgium, but not to be confused with a Belgian waffle. They are a little bit different in that we make a brioche bread dough, press it in pearl sugar, and then put it on the hot waffle iron so you get a nice crispy caramelized outside and the inside is soft, fluffy bread-like dough.
I love that.
Yes, it is delicious. We top it with a little bit of powdered sugar, strawberries, whipped cream, and chocolate sauce. And that's how it is served here in Connections Eatery. In Connections Cafe, you can also get the waffle as just the waffle, which personally I prefer because it's the star. You really want to taste every bit of that waffle and enjoy every piece of it, because there's different textures, the different flavors, everything is really good.
Got it, and I love it. You mentioned the Connections Cafe, which is the food locations, or Connections Eatery,
is the food location. Yeah.
And Cafe on the other side is a coffee location, which is awesome, because, by the way, coffee connects us too,
Right. Is absolutely. What
I'm learning.
And right around the corner, actually, right over there, there is a display of coffee cups and teacups from all different places around the world. It's a very neat, interesting, you can kind of look at and see, you know, places, cups from India and Sumatra and all different kinds of places around the world. It's one of those things you might miss if you're just walking by, but if
That's right.
Take a minute look, it's really fantastic.
Now, I also learned that there might be one of those cups in the mural up here, by the way.
There very well might be.
Absolutely. All right, so that first burger you talked about, I want to get back to that, because the bread that was on, you guys are baking that bread for that burger, is that
for
right?
For the Mediterranean burger,
okay.
We bake our own Donner bread every day, so when you get that burger, it is fresh bread baked that morning. It's a Turkish-style flatbread, so it's very similar to focaccia. So it's light and fluffy, and it's topped with sesame seeds. There's Greek yogurt and olive oil in the bread, so it gives it a nice, cultured flavor, very deep flavor to it, and it pairs really well with everything that goes on the burger. It has feta cheese, cucumbers, tomatoes, peppercini peppers, zoog mayo. It's It's delicious. It's my favorite burger, not just because I make the bread, but
I love
helps.
It. All right, so if delicious. That's the case, then you're making the pizza dough as well, right?
Yes.
So
yes,
the pizza's got it. You got to be a fan of the pizza too.
Oh, well, absolutely. I love pizza anyway, but because when you think of Disney pizza, you traditionally think of like the flatbread pizza, or maybe Italy, like Via Napoli, they make sure. their own pizza dough. So it's very unique for us that in a fast casual location like this, we are making pizza dough, and we're making it morning of. So our cast come in early, they start making the pizza dough. Like Chef Scott said, we use the imported Italian flour, the 00 flour. That gives it a whole nother level of hydration. So it's a really delicious pizza dough. It's not just like flatbread with a little bit of sauce on top. We make the sauce, we make the dough. Everything is really thought out.
It sounds phenomenal. And by the way, I'm watching them put the whipped cream on top of the waffles back here and the chocolate sauce.
Yeah.
It's a little distracting for me, but I heard everything that you said.
That's all right.
Scott, you were going to add something else, but there's so many things.
So one of the great things about the restaurant is traditionally the kitchen's kind of in the back, you know, hidden behind a wall.
Absolutely.
Here at Connections, we actually have three pods on stage, where just like this one are enclosed in glass, so the guests can see our cast working, and we can connect with the guests, you know, especially the kids that come up and, you know, kind of press their noses up to the glass. We can you know, smile, wave,
adults
give them a thumbs up.
Adults
do that too.
I'm about to do it.
But,
so I love the show kitchens. It's such a great concept. This is a perfect addition to the transformation of Epcot.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys so much for your time. I am looking forward to trying everything that you talked about.
Great.
So thanks again.
I told you about that whole getting hungry thing. That's a place I've seen the menu for now a couple times, and I'm so looking forward to getting down there and trying Connections. To give me another counter service in Future World is pretty cool. So very much looking forward to that. What we have next are going to be a couple interviews from the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind opening, where they had a lot of employees there to give interviews on the different aspects of what they do based on their jobs. The first gentleman we have is Wyatt, who is a show producer or project manager, depending on how he describes it, which is a really, really interesting interview. And Sam, great questions. Bringing it all out. Here we go.
Hey guys, welcome back to Sam's Disney Diary here at the grand opening of Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. We are standing in the planetarium. I'm with Wyatt, who's part of Walt Disney Imagineering and a project manager?
Kind of project manager of the creative side, show producer.
A show producer of the creative side. And you know what? This is really all about the show, isn't it?
It is.
So where do you start to create a show?
The idea of trying to bring Guardians to Epcot, we thought, what could we do? So one of the ideas was Xandar. You see Xandar in the films, it feels very Epcot.
Absolutely. It does, yeah. It's got that vibe to it.
It does,
like it.
It's very futuristic and a lot of new technology and stuff. So we wanted to bring that here, our first other World Showcase Pavilion.
And I love that because it is a World Showcase Pavilion.
Yeah.
It's from another world.
Yeah.
It fits right in.
Exactly. And so just like so many of our pavilions across the entire park, Xandar is going to bring their... learn about their people, their culture, and some of their new technology, the Cosmic Generator.
The Cosmic Generator.
Yes.
That's a core element of the storyline through here.
It is. It kind of sets us off on our adventure.
I love that because it is all about storytelling.
Yeah.
You have so many unique ways of telling that story. That's what I'm finding here because this is an omni coaster. And yes, it's a roller coaster, but you're trying to wrap an immersive story around the entire thing.
Yeah.
Where's your mind go?
So because we knew you were going to be on this kind of high-speed roller coaster system, we wanted to get a lot of storytelling and a lot of content before you even get to the ride.
Sure.
And so in this Galaxarium and our Xandar Gallery, as you go see the demonstration of the Cosmic Generator, we get to plant a lot of those kind of seeds and visual and different parts of the story, so that when you get on the ride, it's all kind of there, ready to go, and you can just enjoy the ride.
And that's key. You're prepping the audience, really, for the journey that they're going to go
exactly.
on. So let me ask you this. Do you take anything for granted that people have seen Guardians of the Galaxy or are familiar with the universe? Or?
No, we really want, if you, first time you've never heard of the Guardians and you are just here, or if you are a hardcore fan and you've seen the movies a million times and know all about those characters, we want it to play on all levels.
And that makes sense. And for me, I've seen the Guardians movie, but I wouldn't consider myself a huge Marvel fan. But Guardians was cool because I like the music.
Yeah.
So how'd the music play into this?
So music, you can't have the Guardians without music.
That's right.
And so we had a lot of fun figuring out what those songs would be. We knew we wanted them to be unique to this attraction. So we ended up with 6 different songs. We tested, though, over 100 on the ride.
So you tested, like, with cast members or with your test group?
Our team, yeah.
Your team. So you got to listen to 100 tracks on this thing?
Yes, we did.
How cool is that? So what did you use to kind of narrow it down? Number one, 100% random, right? There's no rhyme or reason to the song.
Basically plays through the playlist, the mixtape, and so you'll never know what you'll get.
You never know what song you're going to get. How did you land on those 6?
It was a lot of debate amongst our team, trying stuff out. Everything that we thought would work at the beginning did not.
Oh.
And it really, the song changes the feel of the ride. The ride is the same profile and movement and speeds, no matter what song, but it really feels kind of different when you're there.
And so, and I've experienced a couple of songs, and I've also moved from the front to the middle to the back.
A little different
so
each time,
a
too.
A little different each time. So rewritability is huge. Yeah. Where were you sitting if you got the ride? In the front, in the middle?
I'd probably do the middle or front.
Okay.
As my favorite. So the middle is really this great kind of take it all in.
Sure.
Everything's kind of planned around that middle seat. But that's probably one of my favorites.
Okay. And for those that haven't ridden, what we're talking about is when you're on the car, a train car, but it's turned sideways and you're looking in. So there are elements where you're sort of looping around and looking at something.
You always get a front row, basically.
You always get a front row. And that's what I noticed while I was riding. No matter where, you really lose the fact that there's another car in front of you or one behind you, because there's stars everywhere. There's screens everywhere. I say screens, but it's storytelling everywhere.
You don't realize it's a vast space that you're traveling through. It is space you're going
through. It is space, space and time.
Yep, space, there you go. It's always about time.
It's about time. Yep. It's always been about time.
Yep. So, you'll see it there when you come. But it was kind of just trying to pay off on space, the music, all of that together, and that turning and rotating really brought something new and different that hadn't been done before.
And I like how you said that, turning and rotating, it's not spinning.
Correct, yep.
And there's a big difference there, because I think a lot of people saw, it's a spinning coaster, I can't ride that. Yeah. But you guys were after creating a family-friendly coaster, so you're not spinning as much as turning to face a direction so that you as a producer can decide what I'm gonna look at.
Exactly, so just like our Omni Mover attractions, right? Haunted Mansion, we took that idea, layered on top of a coaster, and we get Omni Coaster.
You get Omni Coaster. So, it's not an Omni Mover, it's an Omni Coaster in the fact of where it's turning you.
Yeah.
And I think you guys have also layered on top of that some elements from Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Because you're in places where slow down a little bit, and there's a story that goes on, and then you take off after it. So it's a combination of a lot of things.
It is. And so it's a lot of different things to create something new.
Yeah.
This ride system, we have a patent on it, on how the rotation works. There have been other spinning, turning coasters that Disney's done before and others.
Yep.
But this one is unique in how it's done. And I think the sensations, the drifting, the turning, it's hard to describe.
But it's not spinning. And that's kind of what I wanted the audience to realize.
Yeah.
It's not spinning, because the first time I rode, I felt like I was in space. Because you're moving, you're going directions that you don't expect to go or anticipate, and you lose the track in front of you.
Yeah, it's really like drifting, gliding, floating.
Versus Space Mountain, which is maybe a little more jerky and older and slower, but this isn't high speed thrills. There's some launch aspects. But
you still get pretty fast on
you
here.
Do? You do? All right, so let me step back to storytelling, because standing inside the planetarium, how from a planetarium we're describing to the audience, you know, where Xandar fits in this world and where Earth fits and how these things are connected.
Yeah.
From a storytelling point of view, how does that then tie into something goes wrong, right?
Well, so we are here, really in this space here, Worldmind characters is this Xandarian sentient supercomputer. Has all of the kind of knowledge, history, and memories of Xandarians, and is sharing that with us here on Earth.
Okay.
So you start to learn about Terra, Earth, and Xandar, and compare and contrast, and that's part of this knowledge and culture sharing that they're bringing to Epcot. But then as you go further, one of the big pieces I want to share is this cosmic generator that makes jump points, and then you can travel through more space, and they want to basically help continue our journey and exploration, and they want to share that knowledge with us. And that's when Isan comes
something
in and takes it away.
Something bad goes on. Exactly. Isan, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And Power Stones and things like that. But if you're a Marvel fan, you get it, but you don't have to be. I think that's the key why. Thank you for your time. Thank you. The opening of the Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, the latest world showcase. No, it's a
planet. That's our first other world showcase.
Other world showcase pavilion. I love it. We're going to check out the planetarium here too. Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to Sam's Disney Diary. We are at the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind launch event, and I am standing with some of the people behind the attraction. Betty, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
What do you do for WDI?
I do project coordination.
Project coordination. Daniel.
Hey there. I do special effects and illusioneering.
Illusioneering. Pepper's Ghost. My man. We're going to talk about that in a second. And Ashley.
I am a project controls estimator.
Project controls. This is a big project.
Very massive project.
So how big of a project would you say it is?
This is definitely, it features one of Disney's longest enclosed roller coasters, one of the world's longest enclosed roller coasters.
Sure.
So to understand the scale and magnitude, it's very difficult to put into words.
I get it. So from a roller coaster point of view, I know everybody wants to say that, but roller coaster isn't in the title. It's Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. And I think, and I have not ridden yet, this is more about storytelling than it is about riding a roller coaster. Is that right?
You are very, very correct on that, yeah. But it's really going to blast you off into a cosmic chase through space and time.
I love it. So from an illusion point of view, because one of the things I did notice, I didn't see any animatronics in there, right? But I saw a whole bunch of video screens, and I saw the ability to control what people see, what
yes.
they're experiencing.
Yes, the Omni Coaster really gives us that ability, just like you pan and tilt with the camera to control where the camera is pointed and control attention in a film. We're doing that with our ride vehicles. And what that affords us really is making the building, when the show lighting, when everything is dialed in to being show ready and everything like that, to really feel like you're in outer space. And I think with the scale of the building and with some of the new techniques and technologies that we've used, new super black materials and super black finishes, and also new lighting and star projecting technologies, the place really feels like space.
And that's amazing, right? I love that we've gotten there. But let me step back a second. If this is an Omni Coaster, because I think people think a couple of things. It's an Omni Mover. I immediately think of the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you say roller coaster, I immediately think of Rock and Roller Coaster, which this isn't. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of the two, which to me, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you're sort of on a coaster, then you go inside and you experience this. Wow, have you just taken that concept and plussed it? Or how's that? Has that worked?
It's a good way to look at it. From a thrill perspective, we're certainly a little bit more intense than a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train
sure.
or a Big Thunder Mountain.
Okay.
But we're not quite as intense as a Rock and Roller Coaster per se. So from a ride perspective, that's kind of where we're a family thrill coaster.
Family thrills. I like the way you said that, because it's not about being the fastest or the tallest drop. And the fact that, yeah, it's really big and it's inside, that's cool, but it's storytelling. So how do you look at the Marvel Universe, Guardians of the Galaxy, and figure out what the story is? Where's that start?
That is where it all starts for
okay.
us. And I think, with figuring out what the story arc is way on, we started this over 5 years ago. We kind of broke that down, just like we do with everything, to storyboards and story beats, and then really figured out how you can tell that on an attraction, which telling a story like that on a typical roller coaster is very, very difficult.
Sure.
So that's why this new technology that Ashley was speaking of was created for this show. It's really a new way of telling a story that gives you the thrill, but also kind of that dark ride notion as you're going through the attraction.
So it's, and I love that, a combination dark ride and roller coaster. How cool is that? From an illusion point of view, right, the mysteries and how things happen, what's any new technology, or what's makes you the most proud when you ride this?
One of the things that makes me the proudest is number one, how this fits into Epcot, because it's an otherworld show, an otherworld
It's part of World. It's an Outer World Showcase. Yeah. Is that Other World Showcase? That's what they. Okay.
So we have that, but this whole queue, this what we're calling Act One here, is an amazing experience and kind of demonstration of new Xandarian technology, and in that gave us the opportunity to come up with some really, really cool visuals that haven't really been done in theme parks before. You know, as far as the way these things are presented, I think is really fun. And there's a few magic tricks as you go through the attraction or the queue that finally get you to your ride vehicle that I think people are going to look at and say, how did they do that?
I look forward to that because I do that every time. That's why I love doing what I do, to be honest with you, and talking about that. How did they do that? That is so cool. So we have some of that to look forward to. From a project management point of view, what are you most proud of from this?
I think I'm most proud of just watching the team come together. We've been through challenges, we've been through successes together, and really being able to celebrate with each other and really watch, you know, all of you enjoy and come off of the attraction is really, like, this is what it's all about. Is right here, right now, is watching guests enjoy the magic that we've, you know, worked so hard and spent so much time trying to create.
And it absolutely adds magic. I think she might have taken everything, but would you add anything to that?
Oh, yeah, what she said. No, but to also touch on what Daniel was saying, I'm really proud about how we were able to bring the Guardians to Epcot and really marry the story between why they're here and why it makes sense to come see the people of Xandar and celebrate the Guardians of the Galaxy, and in turn get to learn more about the Xandar technology and be teleported to a Nova ship to find out about this.
So why is Peter here? I mean, that's one question.
So Peter came here and he was a kid.
Yeah, I love it. Back in the 80s sometime,
yeah,
right?
Well, I mean, we love nostalgia too. I think we're all fans of Disney and of Epcot and everything like that. And it's so cool to, you know, have Peter Quill be a fan as well. Because of that, Peter Quill might, say some interesting things throughout the attraction that you might recognize.
I can't wait. So there's some hidden references in here,
and
I'm gonna hidden references for a theme park fan, for a Disney fan, for a Marvel fan. Mm-hmm. Lots of things. No, rewriteability, big.
Oh yes. Big. Oh yes. Yeah. Six different songs, and you don't know which one you're gonna get.
So it is random. Don't know which one. We saw the playlist, but it's not necessarily in order.
Exactly.
I love it.
It feels like a different attraction each time you ride with a different song, which is kind of.
That is great. I can't wait to ride it all six times. Thank you guys for everything that you've done here. May 27th is right around the corner. I'm sure you guys will be somewhere around the exit queue watching people come
out. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So the next clip is more along the lines of what's happening next in Epcot. There's a lot of construction going on and a big, big changeover happening in the future world. It's going to become our neighborhood, and I'm sure that's going to be explained to us a little bit more in this next interview coming up with Scott. They both discuss a lot of the things coming and explain it a little bit more in detail of what we can expect in the upcoming months.
Hello, welcome back to Sam's Disney Diary here at the continuation of the Epcot transformation.
Like how I said that?
I love that. And by the way, Scott is with Walt Disney Imagineering, and he's been behind the scenes of these new concepts that we saw for the first time this morning of the evolution of Epcot. And maybe World Celebration, World Discovery, World Nature. What has been going on? There's new information.
There's new information every day, and we're glad to share it with you today. By the way, thanks for coming, and I hope you had a great time at Guardians.
We absolutely did. Awesome. Guardians, the other reason we're here, by the way, which we're going to take pictures of over the next second.
Yeah, and really, the new pavilion is part of World Discovery, as you said, which is really about how innovation and technology and faith in the future fuels are the way the planet evolves, right?
Right.
And so World Celebration, which we've got behind us here, which is a wonderful kind of reconsideration of the center of the park, is at its core a place for the extension of our wildly successful festival programs to have a new center of gravity and a deepening of the offering. So imagine if you could attend a food and wine event where there's a plated dinner prepared for a chef in a demonstration kitchen with a custom cocktail prepared by a bartender that extends and enriches that. That same space can turn into a gallery. That same space can turn into a presentation of another chef. It's totally flexible. Adjacent to outdoor spaces, that can host something as small as the quartet,
okay,
or something as large as an Oktoberfest.
I love everything that you just said. There's so many things I need to go back on, because you started with saying core.
Communicore.
Core, that's where I was going. Communicore, because this morning we heard about Communicore Plaza.
Yeah, Communicore Plaza.
And that's what this is, Communicore Plaza, that central point?
This whole point, it's basically the kind of southeast part of the Central Gardens, as we call it Communicore Plaza. Communicore Hall is the structure behind it.
Okay.
It has a number of functions. It has a Mickey and Friends meet and greet. But the whole component is a flexible space that I described.
Sure.
You can play to dinner, you can do exhibition, you can do demonstration. Adjacent to a very large outdoor area that can be activated for art installations, live performance, anything we want. And so we're building this wonderful facility that we're only now beginning to program and think about how it expands and deepens festival.
So the first 40 years of Epcot, which we're coming up on 40, by the way, you guys have really, you've learned a lot. I mean, Epcot's become the festival center. And you even saw in the last picture, there was the Festival of Arts was clearly on the side of that. So that festival atmosphere, being able to have these spaces that are flexible, is that really the goal behind this?
That's one of the goals. The other goal is to respond to how guests are using the park now as they were from 40 years ago.
Right? Sure.
We know that guests have a lot of different devices that are wearing. You've got an Apple Watch on, you've got an iPhone, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you need the app and you need that power for that. If you've gone to Connections Cafe today, you can see we have inductive charging and we have charging in every booth.
Absolutely.
The gardens themselves will keep that idea alive because what we need to do is we need to give people a chance to reflect and reconsider. We know that not all of our attractions are for everyone. We know families sometimes split up and reorganize.
Sure.
We know they connect over text and things like that.
Right.
So what better place than these wonderful gardens, these wonderful shaded public spaces that are not only extensions of the content beyond, in this case, the Connection Shop here extends to a lovely terraced cafe, right? The Creation Shop over on this section extends into a wonderful place that we can bring artists that are associated with Festival of the Arts to meet you in the context of creation.
I love it. And speaking of the Connections Cafe, I spent some time in there today and looking out towards the new Xandar Pavilion that we have over
and
there.
All of World Discovery.
You can see all of it, and the sight lines are beautiful, and the monorail going by, and then I'm looking out the other side and realizing, when those construction walls are gone, I'm gonna see some really pretty stuff.
You know what
stuff.
You're gonna see for the first time? Actually, you're gonna see all the way to World Nature.
Wow.
If you're standing for the first time, if you're standing in front of Mission Space, you're gonna be able to see the landscape. And we call that intuitive wayfinding because we know that guests wanna know where the next destination is.
Sure.
And so we're stripping away the stuff that wasn't working for us and putting back the good stuff that does.
I love it. That's perfect. So speaking of the good stuff, because we know things are opening up, which, by the way, I love, this transformation's real. It's happening.
It's happening.
We know that Journey to Water's on the way.
It is, yeah.
Look at that. There's some concept art, okay? This looks wonderful.
It does look wonderful. It's a wonderful outdoor exploration trail, right? Imagine if you could actually engage with water, understand the water cycle of our planet in the way that Moana engaged with the ocean and the sun.
I love it.
We can connect and respect and appreciate water as a resource, which deepens the storytelling of the Seas Pavilion and the Land Pavilion, which begins to create an overall narrative of world nature.
I love that, and it's connecting those two pavilions together
and
adding the storytelling element between it.
And giving us new threads to pull as we think about the future of this neighborhood.
Love it. Okay, from the first day at D23 Expo, you guys announced sort of the transformation of Epcot. Things evolve over the time.
Absolutely.
My mind immediately went to that Dreamers Point.
Yeah.
And that statue of Walt.
Absolutely.
And what was coming. And I saw some renderings this morning that they're working on the statue. What's happening there?
We wanted to actually create complete the triptych, right? We have the friends, we have the partner statue, right? We have Walt getting off the train in Los Angeles at DCA.
Yep.
Here is Walt as he's announced the Florida project, right? Thinking about his achievements, thinking about what's to come, dreaming about the future. And the powerful part about this installation is you get to dream with him. This is a full contact sculpture. So you can pose with him, look over the gardens, down over World Showcase Bridge, into all of Epcot. Just a lovely moment to connect, reconsider, and think about what makes this a powerful, compelling space.
To me, this is the most exciting point of all this. I know it's not, it is an attraction, right? I'm not going to sit in and take off into space, which is amazing, or go for a boat ride
but it's often the times in between attractions that you remember most, and that's really what we do. Not only do we create attractions and great spaces, but we create opportunities for people to connect and create memories. That's when we succeed.
Yep.
That's what we're offering here. A lot of moments to take a moment, think about our next step, think about what's exciting, laugh about what you just did,
Sure. Anticipate
what's next, and discover what's left to be done.
I absolutely love that. And Scott, I love the fact that more and more things are opening here at Epcot, and there's more coming. It's a perfect opportunity to get back down there. Oh, and by the way, there's this Flower Garden Festival happening right now until July the 4th, and then after that, we're going right into food and wine. So stick around for more coverage from that. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And we will see you next time with more on the continuation of the transformation of Epcot during the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World.
Awesome.
The last interview we have for tonight is what I think was probably the most missing that I thought of from the park when I was there past in November is the Finding Nemo show, the attraction, the play they have over in Animal Kingdom. Great show. I go to it every time. At least once a trip, sometimes two. Well, they're making a big change to it, and it's coming back as Finding Nemo, The Big Blue and Beyond. So I understand they're bringing in some aspects of Finding Dory, and they're going to create a show around that. Let's listen in as Sam shares what he found out about it.
Hello, welcome back to the Sam's Disney Diary, back here at the Walt Disney World 50th Anniversary Celebration with new entertainment offerings. I'm with James. James is part of the team that is behind Nemo, the Big Blue. Tell me, what's the title?
It's called Finding Nemo, the Big Blue and Beyond.
The Big Blue and Beyond. Yeah. I couldn't read it backwards. I apologize for that. Yeah. So James, you have a little history with Animal Kingdom and the Finding Nemo show. So tell me a little bit about what you've done here.
So the original Finding Nemo the musical, I actually opened as Puppet Master.
That's pretty cool, Puppet Master.
Yeah, so I was part of the team that helped to choreograph the puppetry. Actually, my brother and I choreographed the puppetry for the show back then. And so it's really awesome now to be the director of the show and be able to bring this show back to our guests in a new and exciting way, a little different story framing. And it's going to be exciting.
So it's a little different. So that original show, that ran for a long time.
It did. Yeah, it did run a long time.
And what you've done is reimagined, took the opportunity of being unavailable for a couple of years to reimagine it. So tell me a little bit about the changes that have gone into the new production.
Absolutely. So as far as the storyline goes, you know, where this story actually takes place at the end of Finding Dory. That's the timeline.
We've changed our timeline.
Timeline. And so the timeline, if you remember from the original Finding Dory film, at the end there's a end credit scene where the fish from Dr. P. Sherman's office appear in the plastic bags.
Yes, exactly. And they're all like, okay, now what?
Yes. So those fish were saved. They were rescued. They were brought to the Marine Life Institute.
Okay.
And now today they're going back into the ocean. But before they do, they get inspired to tell the story of Finding Nemo.
How they got to where they are. You're hitting on so many things, because I know this is the storytelling center that we're in.
Absolutely.
And this is absolutely all about story.
Absolutely.
And even as you describe that, I can visualize the fish in their bags kind of rolling across the highway and then going, the now what? So we're going to learn what happens next through a Broadway caliber production.
Exactly. Yep.
So where did you start in that story, or did they hand you the story and you had to go and figure out the choreography? How'd that work?
No, so it was part of a brainstorm, you know, collective around, and of course we partner closely with Pixar and Disney Live Entertainment, and our whole team comes together and kind of crafts a tale, and then you put it together on its feet on the stage. So this musical, which still is a musical, and it still incorporates many of the wonderful songs from the original musical, because we love those songs so much.
Sure.
It still incorporates the puppetry that is also very unique to this particular show.
Absolutely.
The live performers, and we have stage scenic as well that's been redesigned specifically for this show. But then a brand new element for us is upstage, we have a giant LED wall, where we're actually creating scenic content to help fill out this show and also create kind of an immersive environment for our cast to perform within.
Okay, so I want to step back a second.
Absolutely.
Because when you say giant LED,
yes.
Come on, this is Disney. We know those things are huge. And here's the thing that I imagine will be awesome about it. It's not popping out like, oh my gosh, there's a big screen, because it's part of the storytelling.
Correct.
It's another layer to storytelling.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah,
so before we started,
many layers.
Yeah. Before we started, when you do those many layers, I immediately thought of the multi-plane camera.
Absolutely.
Over in Hollywood Studios, but that's what you guys are doing.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what this is. It's creating a dimensional set, if you will, within the world of the LED screen that is complemented by the supporting stage scenic that sits in front of the LED screen.
So I can imagine elements where performers are interacting with what might be happening on those screens,
mm-hmm.
but not in such a way that I'm talking to a screen.
Correct.
But in such a way that maybe I'm picking something up and the bubbles are going up in the
background. Yeah, we really wanted to make sure that when we use this new digital kind of world that we're creating, that it was a supportive part of the storytelling and not an abstraction too. And so part of that is integrating that, not just with our scenic, but just with our overall kind of vibe of the show. We want to make sure that when we're watching it, that the scenic is really there to help support the worlds that our characters are living in, but we're still representing all of the storytelling from our live performers, which, you know, of course, that entire show is a Broadway caliber show. We have these Broadway caliber performers who are just, singing and performing.
That's key. The performers
Absolutely.
Have always made these types of shows,
yes.
Especially Finding Nemo.
Absolutely.
And the Big Blue and Beyond will extend that. Now, the running time slightly shorter than the original show. Is that to get more shows in, or is it to just...
You got to tell a story. Who cares how long it takes?
Yeah, no, it's running about 25 minutes. And really, I think the driver of that is that, you know, when you look at Animal Kingdom as a whole, there's many things to do. And we want our guests to be able to experience as much as possible within the park. And so 25 minutes feels like a good length of show.
Sure.
We can still, we're telling, it's enough time to tell the story and tell it in a meaningful way, still have that emotional resonance that we want to have in a show like this, and still get our audience out to see other things in the park.
That makes complete sense. And other shows in the park, which you guys have happening.
Absolutely.
Any new characters added, or are these the same characters just reimagined in the timeline of the story?
Within this?
Yes.
It's the same same group.
Okay.
Same characters from Finding Nemo across the board. And then we have some little surprises in there as well.
There's always a surprise.
When you come and see the show, you'll see those.
I can't wait to see that show. Thank you for your time. This sounds amazing. It's got to be cool to watch all of the work you put into this come to life.
Oh,
like that
goodness.
First show whenever it happens.
It is. We always look for, as a show director, you know, your reward date from all the work you've done is opening when you get to see it for the guests for the first time and get to see how they react and what, you know, messaging they take away with them.
Sure.
You know, a show like this, what I've always loved about the original and what I love about the new one as well is that, you know, it's really about that connection of family.
Yes.
You know, and you know, you're telling a story about a father and a son. And at the end, one of the most beautiful things is being able to look at an audience and seeing a father put his arm around his son, or a mother put his arm around her daughter, or vice versa. And it's just that tear in the eye and that kind of emotional connection. That's why we do what we do.
That's what storytelling is
Absolutely.
All about. James,
Absolutely.
Thanks for your hard work in making that happen, because I have been that father walking out of the previous show.
I love
show.
That.
So,
I love that.
Thank you, James. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
thank you guys for checking out. We can't wait to check out Nemo, the Big Blue, and beyond. If I've learned anything, I've learned the name of the show while we're doing this. So thank you guys for watching.
Absolutely.
Hit that subscribe button for more, because I'm looking at a whole bunch of things happening here at the new entertainment offerings at Walt Disney World for the 50th. Although this is staying beyond the 50th. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We'll be looking for this on your next trip down. Thanks,
great.
James.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks a lot, Sam. Those were some great interviews and some great information coming out of the parks. If you guys have any questions about anything Sam or Jimmy brought up from either of the shows, please send us an email. Here's how you can get in touch with the Disney Nerds.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 437, part number 2 of news coming out of the parks for Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary and the opening of the Guardians of the Galaxy's Cosmic Rewind. We're so glad you were here to listen with us this week, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week. Until then, bye-bye, guys. See you later.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee, resting.